Dear Heavenly Gracious God, we thank you for who you are and who you continue to be in each of our lives. We praise you for your redemption through Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. As we enter the message, we ask you to allow your Holy Spirit to take it and make it real. Make it real unto the listener and continue to make it real for my life. In Jesus' name, we ask you and thank you. Amen. Welcome back to Challenges of Faith radio program. I'm Gary McCants. Thank you for joining. The question is, have you been redeemed? Part one. You know, so Moses, he brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. You can find that in Exodus chapter 15, verse 22 through 25. You know, when you look at this challenging experience of the people of Israel, that's what we're talking about today. Or maybe we're talking about you or me. But we can look at them in the context of where the Apostle Paul had wrote a letter, you know, sent to believers, followers of Jesus Christ, you know, Christians in Corinth. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, the word, not Gary. Remember, Gary doesn't have a word. But it says, "Now all these things happened to them as examples. And they were written for our admonition, our warning, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." Now, just before this, Paul had recited how God had provided both food and drink from Israel during their long sojourn through the wilderness. And then he makes a surprising declaration that their experiences were recorded for us. Remember, all scripture may not be to you, but we can apply it to our life if it's applicable. Because there are examples. Think about it, as you and I are walking through this pathway of life, through the world's wilderness, before we can even, you know, ponder it, fathom it, he gives us a warning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, "Therefore let him," applicable to her as well, "who thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall." And so what the children of Israel experienced while going through the wilderness, it corresponds to yours and my experience in Christ. And you can translate what happened to them directly over to the life of any of us as believers of the household of faith. Because we can expect to encounter the same challenging problems and expect the same solutions to work for us. Every believer of the household of faith is going to experience your own particular version of what happened to the Israelites in the wilderness. I don't believe any child of God can escape going through these challenging trials, these experiences, because they're normal and natural to the believer's life. And so, therefore, it's helpful for you and I to follow the children of Israel as they're sojourning into the wilderness so that we can learn something valuable from their experience. You know, when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, do you notice how they crossed as a redeemed people? I know you heard the words to the song. God had redeemed them by blood and by power out of the land of Egypt. And when they crossed over the Red Sea and came safely to the other side, they sang the song of Moses. When was the last time you sang a song unto God of thankfulness for having been redeemed? Because when you look at their story, up to that point, they murmured and complained, are you? They actually wanted to go back to slavery, you know, back to the brickyards of Egypt. But then God miraculously opened the Red Sea. And that can be thankful to Moses' faith and they crossed over. Then they believed. They entered the wilderness by faith, and then they could sing the song of Moses. Look at the verses that we've been talking about and the ones we'll see that show that they were redeemed people. And they understood this. The question in your own life, do you understand for your own life? In Exodus chapter 15, verse 2, I know you're going to turn as I grab my water. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Do you notice they were saved people singing, God is my salvation? And when you look at Exodus chapter 15, verse 13, you know, the question you got to ask and answer, you and your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You've guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. Who are you putting your trust in today? Who do you realize and recognize and confirm for your life that that's who's redeemed you? You know no man or woman or man has redeemed you or whatever's come to your heart and mind. But you notice how the children of Israel had crossed the Red Sea and they're singing, they're calling themselves a redeemed people. You know, it's interesting. As you go through the Word of God, you find that only redeemed people can sing praise to God from the heart, do you? Think about it. Anybody can sing the blues, but to sing from the heart with joy, you got to be a redeemed person. So they began their march through the wilderness with a song and a great joy. All their lives, they have been slaves in the land of Egypt. They didn't have any hope on the horizon that they would ever be free. They were born into the brickyards of Egypt, and for all they knew, they would stay there until they died. And you're talking about no flicker of hope. And then something powerful happened, just like your life, my life. Moses appeared back in the land of Egypt and said, God has sent me. God brought these individuals out through the plagues of judgment upon Egypt, redeeming them by blood on the night of the Passover and by the power at the Red Sea. Now ponder that. Imagine that. Here you have a group of people, a company of people starting off through the wilderness. They don't have to go back into the brickyard to make a single brick. They're no longer going to feel the lash of the taskmaster. They're not going to have to groan under the burdens of Egypt because they're free. And they're singing a powerful song of redemption. And you can see all of that in Exodus chapter 15. But then they were confronted with their first wilderness experience. Do you remember your first time? Over in Exodus chapter 15, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. And then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now, you know that's bad. These redeemed people start out through the wilderness according to God's instruction. And after 3 days, they still haven't found any water. Now, could you imagine what they're crossing that wasteland? A desert that is dry as anything like in California or in Arizona. But do you notice how Moses came to know that wilderness well? Think about it. After living in it for 40 years, keeping sheep for his father-in-law, and then spending another 40 years there with the people of Israel, here you got 80 years in the wilderness. And you know it's going to make one have authority. And near the end of those years, Moses labeled the place that great and terrible wilderness and the wasteland, a howling wilderness. And you can see that in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 19, and Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10, because that's what it was. Now think about it. After traveling for 3 days, all their water supply had ran out. Now, you know when they started out, they had to start out with something filled with water, but it's gone now. And they got that powerful craving of something to drink. They're desperate. And if God didn't provide for them, they're going to perish. But why? Put yourself, if you're able, into their shoes. You know you're not. But in your own challenging trial, you can. Because their experience is contrary to the belief that people have today or how life should be for a child of God. Here's the way it would have played out if you were reading a fairy tale. Every thorn on every cactus in that wilderness would have been taken off. Every sharp stone would have been removed from their pathway. The mountains would have been smooth, the valleys filled in, and God's chosen people would go through the wilderness with no problems, no challenges to their faith, no hardships, not a care, not a burden, not a tear. And isn't that the way we hear some people present the Christian life today and pastor behind the pulpit? Hopefully that's not what you're doing. Because according to them and according to you, becoming a Christian solves all your problems, resolves all your difficulties, and everything after is easy selling. You know it's not true. But the moment the children of Israel were redeemed and on the other side of the Red Sea, they faced larger problems than they had ever had in the land of Egypt. Because in Egypt, they didn't worry about where they lived. They didn't worry about what they ate. They didn't worry about what they would drink because the man who owned them took care of that. And the minute somebody else takes charge of your life, that's the same moment you lose your freedom. And then you become a slave. And so you have Egypt. You know, that was called the breadbasket of the ancient world. And that was the reason that Jacob and his sons had moved there in the first place. Because the famine was throughout the world and they went to Egypt because that was the only place where they could get grain. And in the land of Egypt, there was water and grain in abundance. Egypt didn't have to depend on rain. They depended on the river now. They even worship it because it overflowed its banks every spring. And in Egypt, you could fill your kettle anytime you wanted to. But for the people of Israel out there on that desert, the cisterns of Egypt were far behind them, and suddenly their source of supply is cut off. Think about your trial. They found themselves under different circumstances. In the wilderness, there's always that scarcity of water, and it's a long way from one oasis to another because they have not yet found the fountain of living waters. It's going to take them a little while to do that. How long has it taken you to find the fountain of living waters? And you know, the interesting thing is, they're having a legitimate experience. It was normal. And there's nothing wrong with thirsting. And they're not out there in that wilderness because of some sin in their life. You know, evil thought, words, or deeds. And they're not out there because they're out of the will of God. They're in the will of God. But yet they went 3 days thirsty. Now, you explain that. Remember, when you look at the Word of God, it's a mirror for every child of God to look into. Paul said, all these things happen to them as examples for us. And when you look in the Word, you see there are 1,000 other experiences that Moses could have recorded. He recorded only 7 because they're examples for you and I. And we should learn the lessons because this thirsting experience of every born-again child of God. And if you are a child of God, you know I'm describing your challenging trial. Think about it. After you were redeemed, after that time you came to know Christ, you received him as Savior, and things became different. Didn't you find that the cisterns of Egypt failed to satisfy you? Isn't that what happened? Remember, right after you were saved, you attempted to continue the same lifestyle, and it didn't work. It didn't satisfy. Wasn't that your experience? And then there was that period of soul thirst, you know, a yearning and a passion for the things of God. And at first you had a problem finding satisfaction, and maybe you still have not found it. But sooner or later, if you are a child of God, you're going to find that fountain. Time will continue looking at the waters at Mara. But in the meantime, have you been redeemed?